We are recording.
Okay, I'd like to call the Kootenai Fire District's Water Commission monthly meeting September 21st, 2022 to order. It's 5:37. We have Commissioners Hoppenstedt, Robinson, and Horsley here, as well as Superintendent Wiseman. We have a pretty busy agenda. No public scene here, so I guess we'll skip public comment. Take a look at and review and approve prior meeting minutes. Have you guys looked at the meeting minutes?
Yeah.
Scott, have you had a chance to?
Take your time.
Did you have any comments?
No.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from August 17th, 2022. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. So. For you, sir.
Thank you.
We have a water quality report.
You see our sodium results in the packet. Confidence report also that has their levels on there.
Looks like their 41 was their high.
Yeah, so there's been some places around.
Anything from nothing to 41.
All of our coliform came back negative. We did do our byproducts also out there, our chlorine byproducts, our trihalomethanes and our haloacetic acids. They came back. We had a little problem with a surrogate that they bring with it, so we had to retest on the HAA5s, but they came back fine after that. And we did our lead and copper and passed that, no problems. So we're going to do that for another 3 years. Other than that, we're awaiting some inorganics right now that we have tested, and they just haven't come back with themselves yet.
With the lead and copper, was that, did you pull that from certain houses?
Yes, actually homeowners do.
Homeowners?
Yeah, we asked the public to help us out. We have to go around to 20 different houses to it.
Yep.
And they take it on their first draw. They agree not to use any water from midnight till 6 hours at least. Kind of like when you're going to get the ultrasound, because I was supposed to get one the other day, and I ate, and they sent me home.
Okay, and those homeowners are identified based on the age of their system?
Yeah, the age of their service and when the house was built.
How many did they test?
20. They do a percentile from that, but we didn't have anybody over any of the...
No detects,
we had detects, but we didn't have anything close to the limits. That's all I have there for the water quality right now. As you say, you know.
I guess
I would just comment on the sodium issue here.
Yep.
We're relatively speaking, as you point out, with Mashpee, and I think as I mentioned before, I'm actually working with the town of Manchester by the sea right now. Their sodium levels are in excess of 100 parts per million.
Yeah.
And so this is not, we're not in relatively. Condition here, but I do think it's worth tracking.
Okay. Yeah, it's not that expensive. I think they're $12 bucks to take them for each one.
Relatively speaking, we're not in horrible condition
here. No, as I've stated before, I think it was Howard who told me the same thing, like, you know, I'd kill for your numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that basically, yeah.
Well, Manchester by the Sea is a coastal country, too.
Yeah, but they're not getting any water. There's no way they're getting salt water intrusion into their supply as far inland. So it's the same stuff. So, I've been trying to figure it out. They actually have two schools recently built very close to their well. Supposedly, the calcium chloride, but we're going to check it this winter.
Yep. Right.
The guy in the truck.
The guy in the truck might say, nah, this calcium doesn't work. I've
right.
Some salt.
Right.
You want something that's going to melt faster.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever believed it. So
it's
not like you're going to get in trouble. If they are getting in trouble, it's like they can get spoken to. They're not going to go to jail or pay a fine or anything like that.
Right. And I think I did talk to you about the gentleman from Northeast Rural, or Mass Rural Water. Bruce, he says there's programs that you can require, the town of Osprey can require for them to put in on their trucks that will give a higher or lower dosage in different places and as it's there, but it's still a matter of, you know, so when you do stop, you don't see that guy just sitting there behind you as you're in front of him going, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing your
lot of data from the last 3 years now. Do we need to do it quite so often? It kind of proved our point. It is still going up. It's hovering just above 20. We have to do it every month.
You want to do it quarterly? All right. I can put that down.
No problem.
Want to do it one more, like through the winter, and see if it. Well, as Mark said before, I mean the travel time. You know what we're seeing now might be what was put down last winter. You know, something like that. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing a little cyclical increases and decreases associated with months, right?
But there would be a lag.
Yeah.
There is a lag. Yeah.
There's definitely a lag, and like you said, Mark, looks like it's all above 20. It's hovering around there. Every once in a while, you get a bump down. August, May of this year, bump down. You know, why is that?
Yeah.
Pretty mild winter. Not a lot of snow and ice. Same last year.
Then
it pops back up in June.
I could look a little more on this too and see if, you know, if the rain was there a little more at the time, you know, maybe that had something to do with it, you know, if it was a weather time, a month or something like that, go back in history and do a little more investigating. So.
Well, it might be that it's just a really dry time of the year.
True.
We're seeing it drop, or maybe it's getting diluted. But I don't know that we're going to tease that out, or that we need to tease that out. Every once in a while it drops. If every once in a while it's spiking, that would be, I think, more of a concern. So I'd be okay going every quarter.
Yeah. Sure.
Would that help out?
Sure.
Time?
Can you time it with other quarterly?
Yeah, I can just add it to the stuff that we do anyways.
Yeah. I like the idea in the raw, though.
Right, yeah, and it's been consistently one part per million PPB and PPB down. Except for some reason this month in Station 5 it went up in the raw.
PPM.
Yeah.
I still think it's odd that the well in the densest part of the village, like behind the poop, is
the least.
The least.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That shouldn't be affecting Station 5 this much. It's downgrade.
Right.
Right.
Big development there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on.
But they, I believe, was it you? Or was it?
They're required to.
They're required to use low.
Supposedly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Alternative,
yeah.
But how, who polices it? And they're in Mashpee. Yeah, consistently.
Yeah.
Station 1 gets
the deepest.
High.
Yeah.
Is Station 1 as deep as 5? No.
No, not at all. I didn't even think of it. We just had the test done in between Stratford Ponds there, and we do a test in between and have right now it's the gentleman that used to work years ago, Gary Hedman. He's with Ty and Bonds. Right, he has a girl that goes out and she tests it for us. We have a well out there that they test. Yeah, monitoring well, and I should have asked him to add sodium. I don't know. I don't think it's on there, and I should have had him add it. But they do it once. Yeah, they do it once a year.
Well, let's do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that.
And that's all they do is once a year?
Yeah, that one's only tested once a year. Whereas over here, 671 Main. Is done quarterly.
Yeah.
But it's right on top of 3.
Yep.
But yeah, any of these developments have their own treatment plant in there. We have a monitoring well in between. They do a shallow and a deep there. Or test shallow and deep. They test the top of the well, then they go down to the test the bottom.
It makes sense with the quarterly schedule. You also send people out to say quarterly to hit that one at the same time.
We don't have anything that it's the one they got to drop down and put the pump on for the monitoring well. So I don't. They're. I mean, we could ask them to go in there and do it. We can't do it ourselves. That would be the only thing.
So he just, Ty and Bond just does that one well?
Does,
do other people do
he does the quarterly over here, and he does that once a year for us. Maybe once or twice a year for us. And he's been doing it for a year. We used to have two that were further down because the actual treatment plant was in the Zone 2.
Yeah.
They moved it out of the Zone 2, but... It's on the edge, and who's to say that if we ever rewrite the lines, it's not going to be back in the Zone 2 again. So, because they never could meet the criteria for being in Zone 2 with the Title 5 that they were putting out.
Right.
So, they moved it out, and so they didn't have to keep them stringent.
Well, I think we just agreed to back on all the sodium stuff quarterly.
Yeah. It costs us about...
Makes a lot of sense.
Every time they go out, though, I think it costs like $1,200.
To do the sampling?
To do go out there, sampling it, yeah, and the report and everything back.
The rest of us, yeah.
They do all of it, but we do our own at the stations where we can run and bring it to the lab. We just don't have a picture pump or anything to put down into the well to pump it out to fill bottles and everything else over there. So, I mean, I don't know if we know someone who does, but... You got one that will do it?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean...
Depending on the diameter of the well.
I think those out there are actually... We put them in...
I got that one I was using out at Willowbend for years.
Yeah, right. Something like a lot.
I'm not positive if it's there, if it's to keep the continuing report going or anything. I'll look at it.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah, I'll go and look at it. I know that we have a contract with them for certain things, like they have over here. That's the actual testing that they do. They send away for a lot of it. They get a whole bunch of different stuff they test for and everything. So I could get you a little better information. I'm trying to go off of just the top of my head, but let me look at the paperwork.
Why don't we have him review what's going on and see if he thinks?
Yeah, I'm supposed to. I think Tom said he'd give me a call at the end of this week. He said when he got back from vacation, he said he was leaving. He would not talk to me for a little while. When he got back, he'd give me a call at the end of the week. So.
Well, look into it. See what
yep.
the invoices are with Ty and Bond, and how much that sampling is, and maybe contact Gary.
Yeah.
Pettman if you get a chance or you feel comfortable doing that.
It might be on there. I'll look at the report.
To the same time frame as you're sampling well three, what's that going to add?
And then right.
We can see what Tom said.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan? That might be give us some interesting information. Station one is high as well, but station one
it's a very shallow well.
Is shallow and it's probably pretty close to 28. Station one is that the deep one closest to Mariner?
No.
Or is it the third pit one?
It's between the two of them. It's the one that's between. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I know where it is. Get the map. Let's get the map.
If you could have saw the look, you look behind her and went, oh, no, it's not there.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Is the chair breaking? Oh, here we go.
Yeah, perfect. It is.
Yeah. Right there in the middle.
That's the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. I get one and
right.
One and two mixed up.
So when Mark comes through here, he goes by two, then goes down a little ways and looks down at one before he gets down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through.
But it's in that hollow there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sand pit one is two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that hollow, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking of four, never mind.
Is that road salt?
There's wetlands around four.
Yes, it touches Schoolhouse Pond.
Yeah.
There
yeah,
where
okay.
Apparently we had some spotted salamanders this year.
Nice.
Yeah, I sent them to Vernal Pool.
Did you certify that? Vernal
well,
pool?
It takes a year for them to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they salt Hampson's Mill Road?
No.
Is it flat?
Yeah.
We plow it. We do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no salt.
Right.
No salt. But they salt all of Mariner up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whenever you draw maps, like subdivision of Mashpee we're interested in, of course, doesn't show on this map.
Of course not.
Beyond the boundaries of our
cut
off
right. There. It's right around that pond.
Right there.
Yeah, it's both them ponds. Yeah, it's around both them ponds.
Yep. All right. Anything else on water quality?
No.
Commissioners?
Did we go with the pumpage shop?
No. I think that's under the superintendent's.
Yeah, I'll give you what we can give that. Well, I give you the report.
Yep.
Superintendent's report at the same time. Okay, in August of 2021, we pumped 32,641,000. In August of 2022, 36,073,000 gallons of water, for a difference of 3,432,000 gallons of water. In 2021, we actually had 1.34 inches of rain, and in 2022, we had 0.70 right now, so we didn't have much rain at all. That's a little, it's about right, I think, where we're at right now. I'm sorry, I'm just going to make sure mine doesn't go off.
So in the big year, 2020, which is peak pumping in each of the last 3 years.
Last year, we pumped a lot of water.
So but my question is, in 2020,
wow.
Huge. Oh,
yep.
That's the highest one in June, July, and August.
Yes,
correct.
The rainfall in 2020 summer, rolling just rough, dry, wet.
I'd have to go and look on. I'd have to go to a website to find the actual.
It was dry. What I'm trying to see here is, are we seeing any effects with the irrigation policy? It's hard to read.
Well, it's not the irrigation policy. It's the rates.
The rate raise
right.
That we put in before the irrigation policy.
We haven't
in 2020
removed irrigation policy,
right.
Irrigation system.
It is actually lower than 2018, 2019, and 2020. So it's been consistently, it looks like, lower than since we put the prices up. Last year was a very dry season. It was worse than for us on our own wells. It was worse for us last year than it is right now.
Really?
Yeah. Well, our wells are about 6 inches higher than they were at this time last year.
And 2020 was the COVID year too, so that's when we had that huge influx.
Yes.
Every home was occupied.
So Chris, I have a question.
Who knows what that's all
regarding?
Last year I was getting concerned. I think we were about 6 feet above, 6 to 8 feet above the screen.
Yeah.
At station one, which
it
needs time. We have to let it regenerate. You know, if we keep pumping, it doesn't give it time to bring some water in from the outside and then replenish our cone.
What happens if you keep pumping and the well goes dry?
Then we will cavitate the well. Itself could start, you know, breaking inside, and we'd have to put a new well in and everything else. So we just have to make sure when we get lower, we either have to lower down pumps and pump at a lower level, or we have to put out a mandatory, you know, no, there's nothing. We can't do any outside one. Only essential use only.
There's a public education misinformation situation.
We shut
going
down
on
that
here.
Well, too.
Well, when I held the workshop here with people, that question came up, and I tried to explain why we are, you know, why we're preferring people to go on private wells. And the APCC comes out with guidance saying it doesn't make a difference, it's coming from the same aquifer. People are confused. Why? Because they're getting two different messages. One might be right, one might be wrong. I don't know.
No, but I mean, if I have a private well down at Oregon that doesn't water my lawn, it's not affecting our well fields at all.
Right. Don't have the private well, it is affected. And you're irrigating your lawn, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the problem is
we've educated people too well by telling them that, you know, it's all a sole source aquifer.
Right.
And they think that means every single molecule of water is connected to the well fields.
I think we're doing the right
thing. Yeah, it's a proximity.
But somebody, I forget who it was, wrote an email. I don't know if you guys saw it. Who was it? After my public hearing, because he saw the APCC thing. I disagree with what Mr. Horsley said because APC is saying it doesn't make any difference. It's all the same aquifer.
Well, you know, if you're pumping a well down at Oregon and you're concerned about the water level in Rushy Marsh Pond, then yes, it's all related. But we're concerned primarily about
the drinking water supply. Yeah, that's our job.
And
right.
It would be better to have 1,000 private wells outside of the Zone 2.
Right. So I think
all down there. Maybe over there somewhere.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, it depends on your perspective, and it depends on the proximity of the wells. And I don't know how you correct that.
I think somebody could do a nice 3D model, show the cone of depression.
But it still gets to where those private wells are in relationship to the public wells.
If it's in the Zone 2, yes, it has a cumulative effect to some small degree, but clearly no homeowner has the type of pumps wells that we do.
Most of Kachua is outside the Zone 2, is probably what? 75%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I think it's kind of frustrating, but I think we're
Yeah, and I think you're going to get, after we send the next set of bills out that's coming up, some people have followed the rules, some people haven't. You know, and because of that, you're going to see some bills up there this year. And people are going to be like, whoa, wait a minute.
That reminds me, again, just passing along information from Manchester, where they've worked quite a bit. They are thinking about going to a monthly billing with the new meters they can measure remotely, which they think is cost-effective. Do you know about that?
It depends what kind of meter they have. Like, we could probably put something on that monitors all the time out. You know, that you could put a car-mounted reader and drive around. I mean, as it is now, it takes us 3 days to read the entire town, which is nothing.
They're talking about the same issue. They have the same issue we do. And they're about the same size, believe it or not. Their whole town is about the size of the city. And they're the same issues. And their theory is if they get monthly bills, it'll have more of a feedback effect on people. They'll manage the water, whereas if they get the six-month thing, it's kind of too late.
Right.
I didn't know what the cost would be. Maybe it's just something to think about.
Yeah, it would be.
You have to replace all the meters in the village, right?
It depends, yeah, because right now, well, the ones that we have now, we could. I mean, it would just be more of a manpower thing, and it takes daily for us to put everything together and have them stuffed, and you know, all the bills and everything else. If it was where we're at the fact now, I think Jen said she had like 900 emails now in town. Of people where she can do a blast out or something. And some people have asked to get it, their bills sent to them instead of mailed, because the mail is just not being reliable enough anymore for anybody. So she is trying to get as many as you could. I don't know if you guys, when you get your bill, a little thing to fill out. If you have an email address, please put it down, and it gets added right to the account and stuff with this new VADAR system. But I think it would be kind of expensive for us.
I'm not recommending. I'm just talking a lot. They're talking about it. I can try to get you more information.
Yeah.
They thought it might be worth considering. Manchester is pretty well-to-do.
So,
hire Horsley. You must be.
All right. Any more on pumpage there?
No. I think we're good. We're good?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that the APCC thing was interesting, and it's a good perspective, but obviously it's lumping everything together, whereas we're splitters. We're concerned with those
five
wells.
That zone, too, is to protect our wells out there and everything. So, I mean, that's why it comes out like that around our wells and everything else. It comes down to a certain point. Mashpee Zone 2 comes on the other side and makes like a little piece of pie over on the other side, because they have a well directly down to the left, which would be more like where the legend is there, a little more that way, though.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything else on that?
Nope. Not on. I got just a couple things for general discussion here. Yeah. I can go with the first one because it really tells you nothing. We didn't do any services or any repairs at all, you know, that would cause the leaks or anything like that. So, that's been quite a while since actually we put in a service. I think last month we had a replacement service, but pretty much right now there's two or three houses being built around town, but they're really slowed. I don't know if it's because of the lumber being hard to get or what, but things have been slowing down quite a bit. I did get a chance to talk to the gentleman I ordered the new truck from today, and it's slated to be built in January now, and we might be getting it in February. Originally he had said October. What prompted my call is because we've had to tow that other truck twice for slight transmission problems. One that just died, the cable rotted underneath the transmission line, and then we got it back, drove it one day, and the linkage broke on the transmission, so we had to get it towed back, and we just got it back at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so it's that.
This is the oldest one,
you're right. Correct. Before long, we might have a brand new truck. I don't know.
I just heard Ford just released something about, you know, they don't have enough parts for their trucks. So they've got 80,000 trucks sitting, and they told all the dealers, you're not going to get those for months. We don't have the parts.
And I did have on here to talk about level 3 drought, but I see that's in the regular discussion anyway, so we can wait to talk to it about it then under the agenda, I think.
Yeah, can I ask, Chris, when we have a new...
Yeah. Drought? Nope.
Drought restrictions in the superintendent's.
Okay, good. Then
before we get to that.
Yep.
I know there's a big new house off Vineyard Road. They excavated the huge foundation hole last winter, and they're finally starting to build it now. I guess my question is, obviously, they're going to have a nice lot to support that house. Can we send them our irrigation policy now before they do the landscaping?
Which house is it?
On the...
Is this the first, if you go down and take a right, at the loop?
That's the one at the on the water. I'm talking about on the other side near Lally Lloyd's.
Yeah. Oh, beyond that? Where they put the two roads going in? Or
no.
Okay.
Those ones have been sitting fallow for 2 years.
Yeah, that guy approached
me
a long time ago.
Just to the north of there, there's a big new one. Big building.
Yeah, and I drove in there the other day just to see if I could talk to somebody. And they have a sign out front that has the builder.
Yeah.
And they just, it actually doesn't look that big. It's
really?
Kind of a small house.
Really?
And it's, yeah, and they haven't extended too much around at all. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, if we're such a big lot and everything else, why is it such a tiny house? It looks like the garage is almost as big as the house.
Oh, the foundation was huge, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is to the owner, just sending to the owner of record the irrigation policy.
Well, what we've done is made a policy that whenever we hand out an application, we give them the irrigation policy at the same time so they know, you know what, you're not going to be able to put one in through us.
So
they'll know that.
There's a point of contact there.
When do they make the application for water? Is it too late?
No, they can't put a service in until they make up the application. So they're not going to go and put, you know, and that's usually in the beginning construction plans.
Okay.
They're not even finished usually when they put the water service in because it's all landscaping.
So you're doing that?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I did, and I am meeting tomorrow morning with an electrician and the gentleman from Rise Engineering about the BFD project, the incentive project, about $12,000 to put new motors and BFDs on the four stations that don't have them. And we should make back like $16,000 in electricity savings and electricity and everything.
So this is the Eversource program?
Correct. Through Eversource that they're going through, they pay for all this stuff, and I can actually, I've had a communication problem, I will say, with one of my engineering firms, who, when I talked about doing the upgrades, electrical upgrades, I asked him for a price on it, you know, what he thought would be, and he called the guy in, went down, took a bunch of pictures, and said, you know, you should be able to get it done for this price. I asked him, I said, okay, listen, I'm really wanting to do that now. He says, hey, let me go. He goes, it's going to cost you this much to do an engineering program to put it out to bid. And it's almost the price of what I asked for, what he told me was going to cost, and I said, you didn't tell me that, too. You said that I didn't have. So I don't know if I'm going to try to do it without going out to bid, if these guys at the same time can do the upgrades at one of the stations while they're doing it, and I can use that funds from that money because you are actually cleaning up the stations as you're doing it, cleaning up the... I got to see if it's legal enough to do it and everything that's there.
So
I don't want to do anything that I can't, you know, that I'm going to get in trouble for or anything like that. I want to make sure that it's as the... it was written in the warrant and everything else.
So was it Ray that said you gotta go to bid?
No, anything over $25,000 I have to go to bid anyways.
Okay.
So this was supposed to cost around $50,000 to have the two of them done, $25,000 apiece, I think, if I had them both done at the same time.
I don't know.
For some reason, there was a communication.
What is a BFD?
A BFD is a variable frequency drive. It makes the motor start slow and go up slowly, and instead of slamming 40 horsepower motor, throwing that demand charge way up, because once they hit that, to get that thing started, that demand goes way up, and that's what they charge you your electricity at. It's the highest of demand.
to get that motor going as fast as it is, this way it just starts out slowly and goes up to a certain point so you don't have to hit that high demand price.
So it's a long-term savings.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah. Sorry, I thought I explained that before. I apologize. But, yeah, so I'm pretty sure I can get it out of the budget anyways that I have now, and I'm going to have to figure out whether either I'm going to have to give back that money or see if I can talk my engineer into doing it for free and then whatever, afterwards sell them, you know, that you don't want to lose me as a client or something. So I'll have to talk to him a little more about it. I will be away next month from October 9th to like the 16th, just so you know if you need anything, I won't be around. And John took another test and passed his D3. But he's only got one more to take that's left out there, so he's got his T4 now and his D3. He could take a D4 next, but he has passed that also last month, the end of last month. So
is that on schedule, ahead of schedule? Most new guys.
He was only had to get his D1 and his D2 and his T1 to have the job. So he's just going he can. He's taking some classes anyways in Cape Cod Community College. He's going for his associates in environmental science or something like that. So he's still taking night classes and everything else. And he says, well, I'm still doing it and I'm still in the... got a young mind, he says, he's only 22, he's like, well, I can still remember things, he says, and I got it all fresh in my head, I want to just keep going. So,
good plan.
Yeah.
It's a great plan.
Yeah.
So when you're gone, who's the point person, whoever's there?
Yeah, it'll be JR and Matt off of each other, yeah.
Okay.
I call Jen and she'll get it done for you.
Neither of those guys. Those guys aren't taking vacation at the same time.
No.
Okay. Matt?
Actually, Matt might be. And Matt's leaving. Yes, Matt's back. He's actually not going to be here Friday, tomorrow afternoon or Friday. But Matt might be gone one day. So it'll have to be back. We'll have to see. It goes there. I'll have to look at it again. But you call Jen. She'll put you in touch with the right person if you need anything. Jen's not going to be away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see if you can encourage those guys to be around that week.
Yep, I sure will. And the only other thing I had on here was that we're still at the level 3
we'll be
throat.
Level 3?
Leak.
Right.
Mark.
I'll come to the well, I'll go like this.
Give a pipe wrench, Mark.
So we're still level 3?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a question from Mark at one point about if we can enforce the outside irrigation. There's still recommendations from the drought task force, from DEP. It's all recommendations. The only way it can become law is if you say so. If you decide, and like I said, with us being 6 inches higher than we were last year in a little better condition, I'm not nervous yet, but if we keep going down, if it doesn't start raising soon, because we're supposed to get rain all day tomorrow, I believe, we're going to thunderstorms tomorrow. Last time that happened, that test well shot up like an inch.
Right.
But then next day it was back down the inch again. It just started dropping right away. So I don't. We need
bump.
A few days of rain. Yeah.
So a couple of comments. One is during the summer, unless we get substantial rainfall, maybe an inch or more, it doesn't translate to any groundwater recharge.
Right.
Suck it up and see if that will transpire. The USGS has monthly models of recharge.
Yep.
The amount of water gets into the groundwater. And usually summer is considered no recharge.
Right.
Even if we get, unless you get a really good, depends on the soil and depth of water, but an inch or two.
Yeah.
Half inch will get it.
Right.
You're not going to get much recharge. So, I think, at least for me, I thought the conversation was a good conversation. I think the communication, we could do better. I think we could figure out a better way to inform people. Because level 1, 2, 3 thing, I don't think people get that at all.
Right.
The other thing is, not to keep talking about Manchester, I took a photo and I sent it to you guys. They had, when I was there last week, they had one of those big signs.
Flashing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And said, don't water the lawn. And I'm like, that makes sense. level 3 is like, nobody's going to understand. So I would suggest that we translate to very basic language. I think we should distinguish, I forget, the conversation between outdoor water usage and lawns. Because it could be some outdoor water usage, which we don't want to, growing food.
Right.
Well, and I understand that, if I was sitting in that office fielding angry phone calls, I would be leery of shutting down lawn irrigation. But that's what the commissioners are here for, is to have angry people come in and yell at us. And I know it's easy to say because we only meet once a month, but, just blame it on the commissioners. That's what boards are for.
Yeah.
We've been talking for 2 years.
Nobody comes.
Well, I know, but...
They'd rather call or email.
Well, we'll give them Tom's number.
It'll be fine. Yeah, for the next month or two.
He'll be retired.
It's fine.
But, you stole all my thunder, but I think the point is, I've driven around the Cape, and I see different water departments. Barnstable Village right now, it says, level 3, please conserve water. That doesn't mean anything.
Put a brick in
the
toilet.
So it's not just us. I think the superintendents as a whole might be
gun-shy.
And I get that. Politically, I get that. Technically, it makes absolutely no sense to me. It says, with those exceptions, and then it says, non-essential water use shall not be allowed. Lawn irrigation is a non-essential use.
Correct.
So why don't we just say that instead of saying non-essential water use, which is vague and doesn't mean anything to anybody? Tell people what you want them to do.
Yeah. Chris, please don't take this as any direct criticism. We're just trying to make this more clear. But level water only when necessary.
This is level 1.
I know.
Only
when necessary.
This is something we put out when we first hit level 1. Yeah.
Go under it. It looks brown to me. It's like some very subjective.
My other question is, I assume that the superintendent himself has this authority to ban.
Good question.
Is that true, or
no.
Do you need to recommend
I don't.
It to
you
us?
Would have to make the water commissioners have the power to do that.
Good. So
yeah.
Again, you're off the hook. Blame it on us.
Right.
Right.
I mean, maybe there should be some objective level. Like, I remember when you told us about this when the water gets close.
Scary as hell.
When you should tell us the number because we don't know. We're not operators. But 3 feet, 6 feet. When it gets there, and if it's in the summer, where we're not expecting much recharge.
Right. I would definitely let you know right away as soon as if I thought we were in any danger. I would have said something right away and would say something right away.
I think the effect will be people will get a little frustrated, like, damn, I can't water my lawn now.
Maybe I should put it in a well.
It's like, wow, what a great outcome. I think, because frankly, as we all know, the two incentives to make people change behavior are money and convenience, right?
Right.
If neither one of those occur, then you're not going to get much change.
The high rates, people who, this is just the cost of their, they're adding value to their house, I believe, by having a green lawn out there all the whole summer long.
So not, I don't want to belabor this, but I guess my question is, what should we do, what could we or should we do now versus next summer, September, so.
Do we have these flyers for each level?
No.
So
The problem was,
this is a draft.
And I'll explain. We put this together quickly when the level one came out. These are what we had submitted to DEP for a level one. This is what DEP has certain wording they want, of course.
Okay.
They have certain, like, if you hit a level one, we want you to reduce hours. We don't want you to have any kind of daylight, you know, watering or anything like that. Only, I think they are one day for like 16 hours, something like that, that you can, there's a 16-hour period where you can one day a week on even odds is what they wanted. We chose to do 2 days at 8 hours that were a few days apart, so if somebody was still trying to keep a green lawn, they could, if we were just at a level one. Level two, they come out, as you've seen, they have different levels. I think it's no outside watering at that point, or, you know, limit it to. And then we did not put these out because we had people call and say they never got them.
Say what?
They never received them. And this is an every door direct. We paid so much money to have them printed up, sent right out. It should have went to every house in Kituit, and Jen never got one. So there were people out there that called and said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are they sending them out first class or not?
Yeah, it says on it. First
right?
class standard, every
yeah,
so it's standard.
Grade, never gets students.
Yeah.
You're lucky it's all crap true.
Yeah, so that's why we decided, you know, and we also put it on our webpage and and Facebook on social media and got it out that way. Let it put it different places and people shared it and everything else. So then, but it happened so fast with two, we said, let's just change everything to a level two. I went to order signs for level two, and they had changed it to a three within like so many days. So I said, well, I'll just order the signs for three. So I have level one signs, level two signs, level three signs that have it going with the phone number on there, and so we can explain what's going on. I ordered a sideboard that's big like the one you see at Barnstable, which, by the way, he's only got 6 more days. He doesn't care what it says on there. That's for the next guy who's going to build a $20 million plant over there.
Yeah.
But we got those, and we figured we'd go with the signboard. It was supposed to come the week I was on vacation. I had ordered it through Amazon, and for some reason the place I ordered it from, the distributor, wasn't recognizing the order and wouldn't send it out. I don't know if people were buying them left and right, so I ended up going through and just buying, it's kind of a smaller one, but like you would see with the 2-inch thing, and for the last week it's been over the post office out front here. We're just moving it around during the day, different places, so people can read it. That says on it, no outside watering, essential use only on it. So.
And what essential, I mean, maybe, I don't know, do you need the essential use only? What is essential use?
Essential use is like gardens.
Livestock and food.
By the standards of DEP, if you would put a garden in,
if
you would
like
put new grass in,
yeah,
or sod, you could still water it right now with a level three.
Essential.
They call it
because
you just paid that money and put out to have it done. So for it to start growing, you can water it. And I don't even want to see that. I tell people, no, you can't put sod down now.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be building, you know, putting grass seed out right now.
I mean, my advice is, I should say, no lawn water.
Right. Right now it's water lawns and gardens on every other day. And,
yeah,
and, you know, this is a level one, but you get to a two or three and it should be, you're not...
Water
your lawn.
You're not supposed to wash your car. You're not supposed to wash your house. You know, you're not supposed to wash your driveway, because you see people out there with their driveway with the hose. Why? You know? Exactly. You got a backpack blower. Then they yell at you for having the backpack blower out there doing that. So, I don't know. But, yes, it would take you guys to do something for it to become mandatory.
So this at the bottom should say to avoid a mandatory water ban enforced by Kituit Water Department, please use water wisely rather than Mass DEP. They're not going
to
do it.
I'm not positive, but if it gets to a level four, I think you guys wouldn't have to do anything. I think it would be done through Mass DEP.
The thing I sent out today, there's no difference in the advisory for levels three or four.
Really not?
It's no outside water.
Are we still in level three right now?
Correct.
So.
The next meeting is the 22nd,
okay.
Which is tomorrow, right? Tomorrow?
Yeah,
22nd, yeah.
I think it's tomorrow, the next meeting. So, I mean, but the well that we look at is dropping. I mean, it's been a month below the rush line for our...
Is that the one at the high school?
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, we don't have a water management permit. And we have a one from 20 years ago. Yeah, we have a temporary one or a draft one that was given to us that we're still waiting on. And that states, it doesn't say what it is, but if it gets to a certain level and stays there for 60 days, that's when you can go into... that's when you should be putting out your restrictions. We didn't even wait for that. We didn't even wait for it to get below. As soon as they hit level three, we did that. And then I think it was about a month ago, it actually hit that threshold of, I called up Constable and asked them what their threshold was, which I would assume would be everybody's because they use the same monitor. So I broke that down, and I think it was like a month ago that it actually hit there. So it would have to stay for another month at that point below that threshold for us to put out something and say, okay, you're done. At that point, it's going to be October, and most people don't water their lawns in October anyway. They're always pumping it out just in case, you know. I already saw the guys from Coastal with their blowout thing today.
How much more lawn watering season do we have?
Maybe a month, yeah. Maybe a month or so, yeah. You're going to talk about cold weather coming and everything. Everything in a month will be...
So maybe this is really a discussion for next year.
Or we discuss it throughout the winter so that we can get ahead of it.
It's going to have to be, you know, when I know that the screens, you know, in the last, if I got a 10-foot screen, you get 10 in the last 10-foot of your well, there's a screen there. So if it gets below 15, you know, close to the screen, if it gets within five feet of the screen, I'd start to get nervous.
All right, so why don't we say that, 5 feet?
Okay.
I mean, that would be my suggestion.
I don't want a nervous water superintendent.
When
we can easily solve the problem.
How though? I mean, when do we tell them to shut down the lawn?
Well, right now, there's a level 3 drought. The state says no non-essential watering. That, to me, is no lawn irrigation.
Right, well, I'm happy suggesting tonight that we change the sign tomorrow to say no lawn watering. I'm just wondering, we got a week or two, is it worth it?
I know that there's no such thing as climate change, but
you know what?
It's been warmer a lot longer and everything, but it's getting colder now. Last year, I was out in my boat in October.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking to answer my own question. At least it would send a message, right, for people to think, like, hey, maybe I should put a well in for next summer. So I'll make that a motion. I move that we direct Chris to change the sign. Say no lawn
or to supplement the sign.
Supplement the sign.
What if they have to get next to
new signs?
Just put up a second one next to it. It says no.
I can put more letters. I can write down where it says, you know, no outside lawn watering. I can bring down the letters and fix it and write it right up there. And I mean, it's just a push button with so.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can change it online. And just specify, you know, a little more onto the signs that you know, no outside lawn watering.
I don't think you'll get that much flack. I mean, I think people realize how dry everything is, and they might have to sacrifice a little bit. Lawn come back.
My lawn turned green 2 weeks ago when we got rain.
I don't water at all.
My crabgrass is perfectly green right now.
It's beautiful. Best it's looked also?
No.
All right, a motion's been made.
Well, so what is the sign going to say? I just think it should say no lawn watering.
No, just remember, I only have
says,
so
I
many
have
letters.
A private well, I'm going to lawn water. Say, fine, right. If you ever buy a well. But I don't think we should
we should discourage, you know. What? This is the public water supply that's putting up the sign. We don't have to say.
Right. So, Kootenai Water District, Water Department, our logo,
level 3 drought. We've got those signs out. Everybody's seen those now. What does it mean? It means no lawn irrigation or lawn watering, because some people use sprinklers, right? Yeah. So
I can talk to, if you want, I mean, that was a sign thing. If you want, I can get smaller signs made. I think they're only $25 a piece or something like that. Get a half a dozen made that says, that just says no outside water, no outside lawn watering. I don't have to say outside. No lawn watering while level 3 is in effect.
And if you're going to do that, you're going to pull the other ones in.
Big letters next to your little sign, level 3 drought. If you want to know more, then go to your website now and see what level 3 drought means. What it means is, if you boil it down, no lawn watering. That's all it has to say. And I think that people, you know, some of them are going to say, oh, well, that's okay because it's almost fall anyway. And other people are going to say, well, I have a well, I don't need a less. Yeah, fine. And then other people are going to say, you know, screw you, I'm going to water my lawn, and then what are we going to do about it?
Right.
Do we have a penalty?
Some people will not water their lawn. and it will make other people think, like, maybe I should put a well in.
When this was in the height, if you went down Main Street to it, you could go brown, green, 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 brown. You knew who was following, you know, the suit, who was doing it, and who was calling me up going, can you do something about my neighbor? I really can't. I can't go over there and knock on his door.
Well,
Or could you do something about the guy who's out there at 10 o'clock in the morning, he's coming on twice a day and everything else? I said, I can't do a thing. You put a well in. And he just sits out there and smiles at people as they beep their horn and yell at him like, I don't care. I put my well. I'm not using it.
Yeah. I think this dialogue is probably helpful.
Yeah.
I really do. People are talking about it. That's good.
And everybody that does call, I thank them for following the rules and for doing what they can. And Jenna's great, as you know, is at public relations there and everything, talking to people. And
clarify the sign.
You want another sign made.
To clarify the sign with the statement, no lawn watering.
Supplement the sign. We have nice little sign.
Do I hear a second?
We have a second for comment. We have a nice sign that tells people where to go for more information. I'm glad Chris put them out there. I wish he'd given us a heads up so that we weren't caught off guard as a commissioner that you wouldn't put signs out. I would like to know that ahead of time.
Okay. Yes, I apologize.
And I just think next to the sign that says level 3 drought, we're going to put another one that says no lawn watering. That's all it has to say.
Okay.
And if people want to question it, they can call. But this rinky-dink DEP language of non-essential water is
non-essential.
What is that? I don't know what that means. Can I wash my car? I have to get my car clean.
Right. That's essential.
So motion's been made and seconded to supplement the existing signs with the words no lawn watering.
Yeah, and as soon as it goes back down to 2, we'll take out the signs that say no lawn watering.
And the signs
put out
say
the level 2
3.
Sign.
And you can do your Lucy.
If we go to level 2, I'm going to put out level 2 signs, by the way.
Because you have?
Yeah, because I have them now. I have level 1 signs, level 2 signs, and all that.
All
I just was trying to get more people aware out there and everything.
Let's try to keep the signage to a minimum, because some of us don't like the number of signs that are in the village.
There's only 6.
We don't need
there's
level
five,
1
so
signs,
yeah.
Which is level 2 and 3. Right?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's the drought restrictions. Any, you had something on communication there. Not sure what that is.
I think that was it.
That was it.
That.
Yeah, you wanted to clarify that and add to the communication. Yep.
Okay, source water protection, Commissioner Horsley.
Yep, thank you.
So it's a
essentially a contract?
It's a preliminary letter that then they review and they invite us to submit a full proposal. And if they do that, then I'd like to talk about hiring somebody to write the proposal, which we talked about, I think, in the last meeting. But this initial meeting letter, I told you I would write it, I still will. I had intended to have it here.
So this is for grant funds.
Grant funds for ARPA.
ARPA.
Yep.
That's okay.
Fund some of these. I think we can try to remember the number, 300,000 or 500,000.
I think it's five.
500,000.
I think.
To fund some of these septic systems.
Yep.
And there's no commitment on the part of the district unless, you know, we get the money and then there may be some cost share. But at this point, there's no commitment. So.
Okay.
That's it on the source water protection.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And on the monitoring wells, I did see an email from Tom. You may know more than I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want, I did talk to Tom.
Yeah.
He did send me, while I was on vacation, he sent me a small map with a bunch of different test wells around. Asked me, you know, if we can get together one day when he gets back and
yeah.
go out and start finding, see if we can find some of them.
Yeah.
I've had one of my guys out himself right now going around seeing if he can find them, and he's filling to do a fill-in, you know, in between stuff and everything else, and he's found a few of them. A few of them I think have been, like, anything that was in the old gas station on that side of the road. There might be one up close to the road, but anything that was back in on the property's gone. I'm pretty sure when they landscaped over there, they either covered it over or dug it out and got rid of it or something. But
I think Tom's back.
Okay, yeah. He said he was going to get back with me on that, so.
I guess it's probably reported to the next meeting.
Okay.
I was fascinated there were so many wells.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. PFAS?
I can kind of hit
Robinson,
this.
Class action suit, we signed the letter.
We signed the letter, and a woman from Barron and Budd had called me to, had some information. I gave them some information. I said, you know, I have other results here. She asked if she could have a 15-minute conversation with me. I said, yep. She said, will you be around Monday and Tuesday? I said, I'll be in the office all day. She says, I'll call you around 11 on Tuesday. I said, that sounds great. I waited till 12 yesterday, went home, texted her this morning. She got back to me. She goes, I have you on next Tuesday, sorry, on the call. She goes, how about if I call you Monday? Will you be around Monday? I said, yeah, I will. So I will be talking to her Monday just for some small information, she said, to put down. I don't know if it's for results, if I have results to send them to them or what.
This will be something that will go on and on for years.
Oh, yeah.
But the good news is there's no real cost to us.
Correct. And I asked them that when I was original. I said, you know, if there's any future testing that has to be done and everything else, she goes, it'll be at our expense.
Okay.
Yeah, so we won't have to, if they need something done, everything will be under their expense.
Do they want to take over the department? Pay for that too.
Chris, do you hear any more on that, any activity of further lowering the standard?
Actually, I think there's a meeting coming up, but it almost seems like a sales pitch to me. I got something from a webinar or something like that that's coming up. So I get sometimes these, and I get onto them, and it's just somebody trying to sell you something. So I jump off real quick, it seems, at times. But they're going to talk about lowering and what could happen with the EPA's estimates and stuff.
So EPA can say whatever it wants, but we're regulated by DEP,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
So if DEP goes along and says, yeah, nobody can have any PFAS in their wells, then that's what is called an unfunded mandate.
There's going to be some money given out to everybody.
The state's going to have to pony up, which, you know, depending on the size of the subsidy that the state provides, they, you know, say we could get $5 to $10 million for our plant, on a $20 million plant, it'll take out more than PFAS, I would expect.
Yeah.
Take out manganese.
Correct.
The other things
it'll be everything,
about.
Right.
So, you know, this could could be a horse we could ride to do the treatment plant that I don't want to do. But, you know, you have to seize opportunities. And this is the result that DEP goes along with EPA, the state legislature says, okay, we've got to fund it. That's a good thing down the road, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be everywhere.
All
over the country. Right.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But, and then, you know,
the industry's
we can't rely on a class action settlement, but if it does appear, how much did you end up with?
We got a million. We got like a 1.3 or something like that.
If you get a million out of this thing, then that's another subsidy.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's a very sad thing that we keep inventing new ways to pollute ourselves.
Well, you know, we don't know that we can find a low level. We don't know where it's coming from. I should mention this. I called Adam Mace and asked him if he could find out, had an idea one day, where fires were put out.
The new fire chief? Yep.
He said they stopped using it X number of years ago.
Yep.
But historically it was used. You know, we have a 5 or 10 year travel time to get to the well, so I was thinking he could find places where they use foam. I think what he told me in the end, the fire chief got back, was they primarily only use it in high heat or whatever, but I think it translated to like automobile.
Correct. Correct, yeah.
So I'm thinking Route 28.
Right.
You know, like, if there was an accident, you show up and then squirt the car.
Well, we've got some bad intersections up here, though, too. That's
right.
You know, I've been trying, I've been racking my brain, just thinking, talking to Tom a little bit about where does PFAS come from in an area like this where we don't have a car.
Well, I thought it came from septic systems, too.
Well, I mean,
it could.
It could come from households.
Absolutely.
You know, in low, low concentrations.
Yeah.
And it's also possible that our chip, bioreactor, septic systems could treat some of this stuff. We don't know yet. So we're still on the guesswork.
Somebody asked me about that the other day. Do you have to replace the wood chips at any point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do?
Not that often. And the guy, the authority, the guy in Canada,
who's
been doing research, and he's saying 20, 30 years plus, one thing he points to, if the wood chips stay saturated, which they do in a septic tank. He said, think about the Spanish galleons you find at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean from the 1600s. They lasted for quite a while. The wood chips, when they're really wet. The other example is Boston. All the Back Bay buildings are on wooden pilings.
Yep. They're on cedar.
As long as they stay wet, they last sort of forever, for centuries.
Yeah.
Not 10 years, not decades, centuries.
Mm.
If they get dry, they start to rot. So, given all that, I mean, at least decades, maybe 50 years or more, and to replace them is a couple hundred bucks. Vacuum truck, wood chips are cheap. Pavone is the guy that sells them. So
it doesn't matter what kind of wood it is.
Yeah, the research is saying it doesn't matter. Yeah, so it just seems that part of it is not like a big deal. It's not like a hassle every year kind of thing.
Right. No, I just was wondering. There was somebody had asked that to me, and I said, I have no idea. That's a good question.
My memory, I don't trust that anymore.
All right. I think we have another meeting coming in at 7.
We do.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move on to new business. I don't know if there is any new business.
Is this new business?
New business. Yeah. Working together to keep our water safe letter for two occurrence. Are we all good with this? Thank you guys for your various edits. And
I think Jen said the top she's going to send for the two occurrence. She has to have that to them, I think, by the 3rd.
if it's accepted to send this to them, she will do it. At the same time, she has those 900 emails, and she'll send the blast out on the 5th, like the same day that the current is coming out.
Nice.
So she'll do an email blast to the 900 people. It won't hit everybody. I don't know. Do you want to send the letter out to anybody that doesn't get emailed, or what you want to do?
I think if it goes in the currents and it goes to the emails, I think that's a good...
That's making an effort.
Good step. Step in the right direction.
All right.
The only thing I would add is maybe you could underline, please use products that contain calcium, magnesium chloride, not sodium. Just underline.
Like bold it.
That's really what the point of this... But I thought that was a nice little summary of what Tom had provided previously. That's a lot of water, so.
Okay, and then I think that Jen can figure out if it needs to be respectfully submitted, and if we have to have all our names on there or not. It doesn't. Coming from Ketua Water Commission. I think that's fine. So. Motion to put this in, or do we need that, or do we just...
Yeah, just as long as you okay it, we're good, I think.
It's okay, consensus. Yes.
Yeah.
We have consensus, we'll send it out.
Okay.
Anything not anticipated by the chair?
Yeah, I have one. Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that we talked about looking at the water rates again sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to think that as part of this, we can think a little bit more broadly about water is a public resource. And, you know, as a society, we try to provide people with guaranteed access to
that in just a little.
So if you don't have the means to buy food, the government provides food stamps and the WIC program and other things that people need to get a basic number of calories to their families. And I think that public water is the same thing. And I think that there should be some base number of gallons that we can guarantee to everybody that is not going to be part of the rate. And I don't know what the right number is. I'd like to have Jen do some analysis of what the first 10,000 gallons, the first 20,000, how many people that would affect. But also, to have it offset by looking at the increasing of the rates for non-essential water use. And we're not seeing any real discernible decline in the use of water since the rates were adjusted, so they obviously are not creating any sense of dis-ease from the users. So I'd like to have this as a topic that we can keep working on, do some research, and see if it makes sense, because water should be a human right, and I think that we already provide some funding through the annual assessment. People are also paying district taxes, so it's not like they're getting something for nothing. They are paying something. The question is, should we be symbolically saying at least that they shouldn't have to pay for the minimum amount of water they need to survive? Well, no, the study came up with the proportion of how much water we needed for fire control.
Okay.
And I think it was like 17% of the supply. And so we said that 17% should be funded on the district tax.
Yeah.
And then the 83% is what people are actively using, need to use. Or that's what they are using.
Yeah.
Need to use.
I think what you're suggesting is supported that. To keep the lower
Right. We just had a, I think this discussion, I think we just raised the upper tier again.
We did.
What, a little
we
while.
Did.
And
a
we talked
ago,
about
we
revisiting
raised
this
the
in December after the bills came up and everything else and see how that was.
Yep.
So I don't know if you want to wait.
Well, let's,
then,
let's keep
but
it on.
I understand. Yeah.
Let's put it on for under old business under for October
okay.
and November most likely, and then revisit when we get the December.
Okay.
Okay. I will write a preamble of why this idea
okay.
makes sense to me.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
And the other last point I want to get in there is something about it before. I also think we should exclude users, customers. I think there were actually more than I knew. I thought there was just one or two, but I think she found.
Yeah, I think there's a few. The one thing that was brought up, I actually had a birthday party I attended at the High Grounds in town, and I said to him, I said, do you have a food serving license here? And he said he does. He says, and he says the kitchen and everything is off the building.
Yeah.
His sprinkler system for the place has its own meter. And runs out. He asked me to look up his bill, and it is quite large to the point where they're talking about putting a well in.
Good.
Over
they,
there.
They used to have a well.
They used to, years ago,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They used to recommission it.
Yeah,
yeah I'm just, I mean, it could have paid for itself right now with the prices are on there. But with this bill, he already would have paid for it like twice
okay.
to that effect. So, I mean, there he said, but, you know, he had to put out just to keep the greens from dying all summer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if right. that's anything different just from a business point of view.
But that was something, too, that
yeah.
maybe the people that provide food
yeah.
and entertainment that are part
yeah.
of the Kattuit experience should
right.
also have some benefit, not get hit as hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
right. So let's keep all of that for future discussion. Yeah. Let's set another meeting.
Yep.
We've got another meeting coming in right behind
right.
us.
Right.
And
one more one.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
No, no.
One more.
Just so I don't get the. So I just want to let the commissioners know that I am still involved in the elementary school discussion.
Yeah.
And you may have seen there's a notice in the newsletter October 1st. George
yeah.
Roy is hosting a get together at his house, which I'll be there with him. And the purpose is to talk through the community use. And he's asked me to provide continued, like, make sure that whatever we do there protect the water.
Good.
So upgrade. So I'm going to.
Excellent.
Still involved.
Excellent. Good. Good. Is George joined the discussions with the subcommittee?
Yes.
Good.
He and I participated in at least one of the meetings with the subcommittee. Right. I think he'll
yeah.
Shall we look at October?
Yeah. October 19th is the third Wednesday. I'll be back from vacation. That Monday, I mean that Tuesday, so
5:30.
I'll have a day to get everything ready for you.
10:19 at 5:30. Would you like 5:45 to give you another?
No, that's okay. 5:30 is great.
5:30, it is.
Jen's gonna do it anyway, right?
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. I
thank you guys.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. And
all in favor?
We'll change that soundboard and get some.